Fractured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Frank.
Let's talk about pastors, shall we?
Son, don't go to sleep while I'm talking. Hey, hey, hey! Don't you lay your head back. I'm important.
I guess. Who is this guy? This is Wretched Radio. I just pushed the button. Who is this man? He is just railing on his congregation. He's stepping out of the pulpit to give him a little hoo hoo hoo.
Now, you might do your English teacher that way, but I'm not teaching English. I'm teaching eternal life here. I love you. You know I love you.
Have right.
I convinced you I love you?
But yes.
Yeah. You better nod your head, yes.
Well, you better. Yeah. Yeah, I love you.
Stay awake and you listen to me. You say, well, he may never come back. Well, he ain't here now. And where have you been, Mr. Underwood?
Oh, by name.
And I noticed on the calendar I'm supposed to marry y'all. What makes you think I'd marry you? You're one of the sorriest church members I have.
Oh!
You're not worth 15 cents.
Okay, then.
And you want me to marry you to her? And you want to marry him? And he don't even know where he belongs? And you don't even know where you belong? Now, let me tell y'all, everybody here, how much I love these kids.
Well, that was just overflowing with pastoral love right there. Let's talk about a pastor who has been loving for 40, 50 years, who is now retiring, sort of. Pastor Chuck Swindoll. He is at Stonebriar Church in, I think it's in Dallas? Must be. Because at one point, as the chancellor, something or another, at Dallas Theological Sem, Chuck Swindoll has been preaching in a local church and on the radio for decades. And he's stepping down as the senior pastor, becoming pastor emeritus, but he's going to continue to preach. That's a turning of a page. And I suspect for a lot of people that are listening, they were impacted by this fellow. I know that I was. Chuck Swindoll, not an expositor per se. Now, he would say that he's an expositor, but not to the depth that I think you and I normally look for in expository preaching. But he had and has the most amazing ability to bring theology off the shelf. His program is called Insight for Living. And I remember decades ago listening to Chuck Swindoll on the radio when I wasn't a Christian. And he was very influential in my conversion because I started to get it. All the stuff that I had learned about God, all the ologies that I had spent years studying suddenly made sense. He wouldn't use theological terms, but he would talk about them, and I heard him. Oh, he's talking about imputed righteousness. Hey, he's talking about the hypostatic union of Jesus without ever using that language, and the Christian faith came together for me like a jigsaw puzzle, just instantly put into place. And now, kind of a sad day. Chuck Swindoll is retiring at least from one part of his role, but he's going to continue to preach at the age of 89. 89. This happens to be a sermon from April 7th. Doesn't get much fresher than that. Let's just see how Chuck is doing. I haven't listened to this. He's just taken the pulpit at his very big church, Stonebriar Community Church. Let's hear if that classic voice. Wow, that guy had a setup. Adrian Rogers, he had one set of pipes where it just echoed. He had a cavern for a chest. It just, blah, 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 just came out of him. But Chuck Swindoll used his voice like an instrument. Let's see if it's still tuned, shall we?
What if speaking openly about Christ were to result in a punishment where your life would be at stake.
Well, it's definitely older, but it's still nimble. That is a man who begins a sermon with getting attention. That's an important aspect of a sermon. You've got to tell folks up front why they should continue to listen. It seems to me some pastors do a really good job at that because it's the first thing. And as you work through a sermon, you work through that, well, you know, probably first. Now, I've heard Steve Lawson say he works on that last. He exposits the text, determines what his points are, then he writes the introduction. A lot of pastors, they don't do that. And a lot more pastors don't come to a conclusion. They don't ever consider, how do we wrap this thing up in a coherent, impactful kind of way? And so the plane just keeps circling and circling and circling. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus lands the plane. Really fascinating to watch the structure of this Sermon on the Mount. He spends 2.5 chapters absolutely obliterating the religious system. You think that sin starts here? Oh no, I'm telling you, sin starts here. You think that's righteous? Oh no, I'm going to show you what righteousness is and the righteousness that is required to enter into my Father's kingdom. You have to be perfect, just like he's perfect. Blah! It is a homiletical speed bag. He just keeps hitting and hitting, and then he lands the plane. And he issues, it is indeed a command, because they're imperatives, but it's more of a plea. Don't be foolish. You've just heard what is going to happen. Don't go on the broad road. Don't be deceived. Get on the narrow road. Why? Because Jesus is a pleading Savior. And when he was preaching in Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, was it a scolding? Yeah, but I think it was more of a pleading. And we see the heart of the Savior revealed. He wants to save people. He desires that people come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you read in the Old Testament, study the names of God, you will see that he's the forgiving God. He's the long-suffering God. He's the gracious God. He's the merciful God. Those are the names for himself because God loves to forgive. That's his preference. God prefers to save. And if you think that is a unique thought that's coming out of my mouth, it is most certainly not. The Puritans talked about this all of the time, that God does not wish to put his power on display by defeating so paltry a foe. Casting people into hell, it ain't no biggie. God just, bing, can just flick us in nothing. But to take briars, to take thorns and turn them into a bouquet because of his spiritual husbandry, now that is a work that he aspires to. That is a great undertaking. The saving of souls. And so it is Jesus in landing the plane. He actually wraps it up. Don't get on the broad road. Be on the narrow. Hey, warning, here's who's going to take you on the broad road. False teachers. What is Jesus doing? Is he just being crabby about false teachers? No, he's warning you. Don't follow false teachers. Don't do it. It's not just the fruit of their mouths. It's the fruit of their lives. And it's a lack of fruit. And we should judge that fruit. Why? Because people get damned because of it. False teachers are not nice. They're ravenous wolves. And Jesus, with his shepherding heart, wants us to be warned about them so that we don't fall into their snare. It is an oratory that is filled with compassion. And then he closes with, be wise. Build your life on the rock. Don't build it on sand. The storms are going to come. In the immediate context, it's the storm of God's judgment. But I think the broader application is the storms of life. Just everything that is going to hit you as a Christian, it's coming your way, and you are going to get hammered by it. Build your life on the rock, which, by the way, 1 Corinthians 3, is Christ. He is the foundation. And Jesus landed the plane, wrapping up his sermon with an actual conclusion, which is so often missing these days. I'm sorry. I'm being just a wee bit sentimental. Let's listen to a little more Chuck Swindoll.
Imagine yourself in a setting where you have the opportunity to talk to a friend or colleague at work or someone over lunch, and the subject of Christ comes up, and you're living in a place where speaking openly of your faith could result in your being arrested and brought before a judge who is prejudiced, and you are not ever going to face a fair trial.
Chuck Swindoll, retiring at the age of 89 from the business end of church stuff, still preaching faithfully, not retiring, going for as long as he can to bring theology off the shelf so that people can actually believe the Bible is true. He did that for me, for which I'll be forever grateful. This is Wretched Radio. Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today and to our ongoing monthly gospel partners. You're the foundation. You're the heartbeat of this mission. You stand firm with us, and it's not just a commitment, but it is a testament to your faith and dedication to spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to millions of people all over the world. And if you haven't yet quite made the leap to joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider doing so? No gimmicks, no punchlines, no hard sales here. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just giving you an honest to goodness invitation to be part of a mission that is changing lives all over the world. As we stand firm together, unwavering in this purpose, united in this mission, we are able to make a difference for eternity. Wretched.org/donate is where you can find any answers to any questions you might ever possibly have on what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry, but it's kind of like a shiny object. No, it's more like a car wreck and I can't take my eyes off of it.
Are y'all keeping the camera on me back there in the little video room?
Oh.
Good.
Oh.
We're having trouble in the video room. There's no one finer than young Cox back there.
I have a funny feeling a Judas kiss is on the way. Jimmy!
Yes?
You do such an amazing job.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
You total despicable loser.
And he comes down here and spends hours in that thing. But he has a little attitude adjustment that we're going to fix. Brother Cox, you listening? Because, Brother Cox, I can fix your attitude adjustment. Now, I don't care what your mama thinks and your daddy thinks. And I don't have a better friend than your mama. But, Mama, you get out of my way when I'm messing with that boy because I'm his preacher. I'm yours when I'm talking to you. But I'm his when I'm talking to him.
All righty, then.
And last I checked, he's a grown man.
All righty, then. Hey, you're saying, Friel, really? Did we need another minute of that? Count your blessings, because I'm going to tell you what pastor we're not going to be talking about. His name rhymes with Mark Driscoll. You've probably heard something about it, which is about the extent of what I've heard. Pastor Mark Driscoll, speaking of pastors who brutalize the flock, actually, what's a segue there? He was the Mars Hill preacher, and he was a megachurch guy. Wildly popular. And he kind of used that tactic too, where he would kind of punch you in the nose with his words, a lot of tough talk. Well, it turns out that tough talk wasn't manufactured because behind the scenes, he was removed from his position because of staff abuses, congregational abuses. He's down in Arizona and he started up a church and he has left behind his Reformed theology, moving in more in a charismatic direction. And in order to stay on the circuit, you have to go to big speaking engagements that feature a former stripper doing a pole dance. Now you say, that's awful. Oh, hold on. Haven't told you the gender. It was a male pole dancer. No, wait a second. That isn't every gender detail you need. It was a male stripper at a men's conference. And Mark Driscoll was preaching there. And as I understand it, after the stripper pastor or whatever did his thing, then Mark Driscoll got up and called out the church and the organizers of this men's event. And it caused a big kerfuffle. And of course, he's milking it like a cow on the internet, getting lots of views. Ain't going to talk about it. I don't know what in it. It is just the whole thing is so sordid. I'm like, ugh. Bless your heart. If you want to dive into that story to figure out, because I think it's turning into a bit of a he said, I guess is what you would say. That this, oh, you don't know everything that was happening and this happened and then that happened. I don't care. I don't care. A men's conference featuring a male stripper and Mark Driscoll. I just. Really? Really? And that's the big news story of the day. Stephen Furtick under fire, apparently, for Easter. I didn't recognize it. Jimmy, I think I've seen you wear something similar, wearing a $2,000 Givenchy.
I've got three of them.
Sweater. I hope it's not in pink, because, wow. Apparently, some people took a look at what he was wearing and did a little Googling to discover, hey, what do you know? They sell that sweater at Neiman Marcus for $2,000. Now, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. This man is busy. You see, tending to a 14,000 square foot home, that takes a lot of time. And he, rightly so, has professional shoppers to take care of these things. And, they got it on, I'm trying, and they got it on the discount rack. It's a knockoff. It was actually a polyester Givenchy, and people are just being hypercritical. Actually not. Jesus instructs us that you can identify a false teacher by their fruits, and the fruit that they bear is not just heresy. It isn't just false teaching. It can be their devouring of the wolves, making merchandise out of people so that they can live a lavish lifestyle. The false teacher is after power. The false teacher is after fame and fortune and licentious behavior. That's what is driving them. And we want to be careful because I think there's varying lifestyles for different pastors that can be very legitimate and explained. But come on, really? A $2,000 sweater? A sweater for $2,000? I think in America, that would be about 2 weeks' wages for people. 2 weeks' wages to that sweater in a massive mansion. We have to take Jesus at his word that the fruit of false teachers is more than just their lips. We continue with pastor news. This is a conference that's going to be coming up. You say the Southern Baptist Convention? That's coming up too. We're looking forward to that, but also the United Methodist Church. And this is going to be a Lollapalooza. This pastoral conference has been stalled back in, let's read the details. This was from an article. There's my glasses. From an article in The Conversation. United Methodist Church's General Conference is going to be meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't think I've been to Charlotte. It sounds like it would be like perfect. April 23rd through May 4th, Zoink Scoob. In 2022, Conservative Methodist announced a break from the UMC. They formed the Global Methodist Church, and thousands of them. As of 2024, 7,600 Methodist churches have disaffiliated. That's a fourth of United Methodist congregations. And they pushed off the conference. I believe it was supposed to happen 2 years ago because of the acrimony about gender and the LGBTQ stuff. Well, the time of reckoning is here. And I think that there's about 800 pastors that'll be there. 300 of them are actually from Africa, which is a good thing because they tend to be more conservative there. Here's a little history. 1996, General Conference added legislation prohibiting clergy from conducting same-sex weddings, but a lot of people continue to do it. 20 years later, 2016, the election of a woman as the first openly gay bishop of any gender in the UMC. Well, that would be a sign of the direction of United Methodist Church. Conflicts between conservatives, progressives, came to a head in 2019. It was going to be a special conference to prevent a schism. Well, I don't think that conference happened, and they pushed it, and now it's finally taking place.
Ooh, the intrigue.
The council endorsed what was called the One Church Plan, which would have allowed different Methodist pastors in different countries autonomy. In other words, they could determine, where do we stand on it individually? However, delegates voted overwhelmingly for what was called the Traditional Plan. 2019 conference passed a resolution giving local congregations the option to leave the UMC. They were given until the end of 2023, and now 7,300 have actually left. That is going to be dealt with at the United Methodist Conference coming up in lovely, I think, Charlotte, North Carolina. Don't know what you think about Methodists. Methodism, on paper, is an orthodox denomination. And clearly, there are good people in that denomination who are not willing to put up with the hijinks and shenanigans that are taking place at the national level. I think we should be praying for that conference, along with the Southern Baptist Convention Conference. That is a denomination. It's not facing exactly the same struggles as the United Methodist, but nevertheless, they're up against it, and we should be praying for them. Pastor's wedding night advice to women. Oh, good. It's a Southern Baptist pastor at a church in Dallas. On your wedding night, ladies, stand where he tells you to stand, wear what he tells you to wear, and do what he tells you to do. That was the best part of his wedding night advice, causing a lot of stir. We actually need some talk about what it means to be a male in 21st century America, specifically a Christian male? We need more of it. I was reading about a conference. This was a conference that was some Christian church. And that too was raunchy. Like this men's conference with a male stripper. What is that about? The conference that I read about, there were like all kinds of like rah, rah, rah jokes. And this advice to women, this was also, I believe, done at a conference. We got to do better. We do have to have conversations about genuine biblical masculinity, because got to tell you, what evangelicalism is producing these days, pretty rotten. Hey, that reminds me. Dr. Pastor Adam Tyson, he's going to be one of our new additions here at Wretched. Our brave, bold new initiative. His podcast is going to be aimed at Gen Z young men. And needless to say, we could use that these days. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. We start today with news from the Pew Research Center, a sobering report, I guess is the best way to describe it. 60% of self-identified Catholics in the United States now believe abortion should be legal in all or most cases. That's right. So there's essentially no difference between the average Catholic and the average American when it comes to condoning taking the innocent life of an unborn child. I guess it's no surprise in a world where politicians like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi have been often held up as model Catholics. Digging into the numbers, however, only 34% of Catholics who actually attend Mass weekly are pro-abortion, versus the whopping 68% of Catholics who rarely darken the door of a church. Turns out regularly hearing the Word of God has a bit of an impact. In other news, a biological man from Wisconsin has claimed to be both a woman and a vampire, and he's also been convicted of sexually assaulting a mentally disabled 16-year-old girl. Special place in prison for this guy. 35-year-old Adam Hetke is his name, and he goes by Sabrina now. He's already served two previous prison sentences for sexual offenses, but when he was released in 2020, he promptly changed his gender identity. Ah, that's fun. Hetke reportedly threatened to bite the teenage victim if she didn't comply. Being that she was mentally disabled, she was likely rather scared of the guy. He'd been previously suspected but not charged in the death of a disabled man shortly after his prison release. Our justice system's working pretty efficiently there, I see. And recently, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals overturned a West Virginia law that barred biological boys from participating in girls' sports. How fun is that? The court claimed, get this, that it violated Title IX, which of course bars sex-based discrimination in schools. You know what? Boys participating in only boys' sports and girls participating in only girls' sports is the kind of discrimination we actually do need. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is against my better judgment. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. Okay, Jimmy, what's the latest on them? We've just lost our minds. The church that hosted a men's conference that featured a former male stripper doing a pole dance.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Mark Driscoll, apparently a part of the conference as a guest, came out and denounced it, saying, hey, that was bad. So what's the latest skinny on this?
Right. So I don't know all of the details, but what I've gathered is there are a number of Christians who are applauding what Driscoll said. And again, I don't know exactly what it was. But then there are more level-headed Christians coming out and saying it doesn't matter if he said something good or not.
He's still Mark Driscoll, and he's still disqualified from pastoral ministry.
Right.
All right, so is it how many more days? What's the shelf life on this spectacle?
Hopefully by the end of today.
Hey, gavilta fish. Well, please note this. Dr. Adam Tyson's podcast for young men, there will be no male strippers involved. Now, that's a promise we're willing to make and keep here at Wretched Radio. Would you please consider visiting wretched.org? We have got a very big initiative that we are launching. It does include Dr. Adam Tyson. He's going to be doing a podcast for young men. Dr. Greg Gifford, he's going to keep doing the Transform podcast, which you should go listen to. Dr. John Kratz is going to teach us how to apply theology to our affections, our emotions, our wills, because there shouldn't be a disconnect between the two. The theology should do something. Dr. John Kratz is going to focus on just that. There are 8 fellows that are going to be doing podcasts, writing books, doing Sunday school materials. It is a huge initiative, and we have a matching gift campaign right now. $250,000 matching campaign. Visit wretched.org if you'd like to work with us. We would love your partnership. That's why we call ourselves Gospel Partners Media. This is our Christian version of the Daily Wire. More voices speaking into the darkness in support of the local church and local pastors. Please consider partnering with us. This is strong. This is a big thing. And this is going to make an impact. And we cannot do it without you. Please consider partnering with us at wretched.org. It is our bold new initiative. By the way, Jimmy, hold on. I found that thing last week. James Smith. Do you remember that name?
I do not.
Dead guy. Puritan. Okay. He was talking. I was trying to remember his quote about peculiar sins. For the person who has committed whoppers, who has committed the sin that they don't want anybody to know about. They've lived a lifestyle that they would like to keep it in the closet and fears that God might not be able to forgive them. Or if he does, well, begrudgingly. We need to understand, God doesn't say begrudgingly. Sorry, but that was my sermon on Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. You can learn more at alpharettabiblechurch.org. Jesus wants people to be saved. He wants really bad sinners to be saved. That is his desire. And he is most glorified when people are more depraved and get saved. And he hearkens to everybody. You come. Oh, you're thirsty? Come to the living water. He'll save abundantly. So here's the James Smith. Can God save such a sinner as I am? Yes. Let your sins be ever so numerous, ever so aggravated, ever so peculiar. And then he goes about the business of defining peculiar sins without naming any particular sin. Here's what he said. The demerit of your sin is not for one moment to be compared with the merit of Christ. That's a Puritan right there. They preached the gospel. They didn't just preach fire and damnation. They preached the gospel. Never compare the demerits of your sin with the merits of Christ. There's no comparison. Your sins may be like a drop of filthy water, but the merit of Christ is like an ocean of clear, pure, living water in which, if you trust in him, that drop will be swallowed up, absorbed, and lost forever. What a picture. By the way, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he uses a lot of word pictures when he preaches. Super helpful. When he's talking about the deception of the people who build their life, their home, their spiritual life, their eternity on sand. And what happened? The rains come and they get washed out. that part of the world, they understood that imagery quite clearly because they can go for months without rain and then, boom, the heavens open and water comes pouring down and the riverbanks bulge and they overflow and they just take everything that was built lazily, because that is the person who actually built their life on the sand. Because sand settles. Sand doesn't settle on a mountainside. It comes down to a flat area. And people who are lazy don't do the digging to get down to the foundation. They just put it on the sand. And what happens? Whoosh! And Jesus warns, don't be a fool. Be wise. Build it on the rock, which is Christ, which is 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Corinthians 3. And the imagery that he used, people would have been like, Yeah, whoa, I get that. When those torrential rains hit and the floods happen, we get swept away. Good imagery from Jesus. Back to James Smith. Yours are the sins of a finite creature. His is the merit of the infinite God. If no atonement had been made, or if the power of Christ to atone had been finite, then we would suppose that there would be some difficulty for God. But there is an atonement, and that atonement was made by the one whose merit, worth, and power to atone were infinite. And therefore, there's no difficulty. Have you committed peculiar sins? And you think that Jesus can't forgive you, won't forgive you? He came to this planet so that you could be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ saved some of the greatest sinners called the ungodly, the enemies of God, like Manasseh, the dying thief, Saul of Tarsus. And he made an atonement for the sins of such sinners because his blood cleanses us from all sin. God enjoys showing mercy. It is his delight. Another Puritan, maybe it was Thomas Watson, that mercy is his darling attribute. He loves showing mercy. You say, well, what about the wrath business? We've got to be careful with dividing up God's person. He's simple in that he's one, and he's not made of components and parts like a jigsaw puzzle. He doesn't have attributes that make him. He just is. But the Bible describes him as love. God is love. You say, what about his wrath? His wrath is his peculiar attribute. And it also was reading some commentators on this, that his wrath flows out of his love. You say, how does that work? He flows out of his love for justice and righteousness and goodness and everything that is pure, lovely, and worthy of praise. So he will pour out his wrath, but it's peculiar. He's the God of love who loves to save. That's his face. God enjoys showing mercy. It is his delight. He will abundantly pardon with pleasure, freely, forever. Doubt not, question not, fear not, but apply at once. Apply with confidence, for with the Lord there is mercy and plenteous redemption. Christ is full of compassion and sympathy, plenteous in mercy. He sympathizes with and pities sinners such as you are. He has an ocean of mercy and will glorify it in such as you. If you are the most wicked, unfeeling, depraved, and peculiar sinner that ever breathed, the Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful, the most merciful, and the most peculiar Savior, so that coming to him, you'll be very well matched. You'll obtain a peculiar salvation in a peculiar way. And he will get peculiar glory in saving such a peculiar sinner. Be sure of this. The most peculiar sinner who comes to Christ will not be lost. I love this quote. Hell will never have to boast that it is one such sinner there, one who is so peculiarly depraved and wicked that Christ could not gain for him access to heaven. Satan will never be able to point to anyone and say, that one was so vile, so wicked, that even though he wanted to be saved, the Lord Jesus wasn't able or willing to save him. Satan can never utter that because he is mighty to save. And if you have committed peculiar sins, come to Christ. He will welcome you because he delights in saving peculiar sinners and receiving peculiar glory. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, this is a brave new world we're living in. We all know that. We experience it daily. And we here at Gospel Partners Media have decided to do something about it. A bold new initiative is on the horizon. We are embarking upon our largest endeavor ever. Our version of the Daily Wire, a Christian Daily Wire. 8 new, powerful, theological voices will be joining this ministry. Men like Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Pastor Tim Challies, Pastor Brad Bigney, among others, will be joining our effort to stand up and speak boldly into our darkening culture. Currently underway is a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give to this new initiative will be matched, essentially doubled. You can find out more details right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the realities of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of I don't know why I'm talking like this. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing games since I'm Todd Pardo. You remember that guy? He had some pipes. Fern Lundquist, no longer doing the Masters Golf Tournament. That is a voice. Gonna miss that. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Jimmy, go ahead and tell everybody what this thing is. Which clip does Jimmy like better? That's what we're calling it right now. Very popular. Oh, this is a perennial favorite here at Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I have two clips. You'll determine which one you like the best. Are you prepared for your most earnest responsibility to act as the federal head representing tens and tens of people?
I am.
Clip number one, Talk TV. A woman named Julia Hartley Brewer is going to bring on an individual who is transgender. Out of the gate, it goes sideways. Real fast. Got to listen carefully because the sound is just a touch muddled just in the beginning. She, the host, is going to introduce her. And that's where the problems began.
My next guest, who is Shivani Dave. She is a journalist and a presenter at Virgin Radio, just down the corridor. Good afternoon to you, Shivani.
Good afternoon, Julia. Thanks. You know my pronouns are they, them. How are you doing?
All righty then. A pronoun correction right out of the gate. Hey, I'm not a she. I'm a they, them. And the host, not willing to play the pronoun game.
Yeah. Thank you for telling me your pronouns. I use correct grammar, so the only thing I would need to refer you to is to your face would be you. But
you know what? That's correct. I'm making a prediction right now. I am not a prophet, but I'm just telling you, they're going to change the definition of pronoun. They're going to rewrite it. That's what we do with mental illness in the DSM. Oh, we called that a mental illness, but the society likes it now, so we'll change it. That's no longer a disorder. And by the way, speaking of disorders, have you heard of transableism? This is the malady that affects some people. They do not believe that they should have a particular body part. This has been a part of the whole trans conversation. If somebody can say, I don't think I'm a boy, and you can have body parts lopped off, then it's okay for you to be amputated if you don't think that you should have a foot. Well, guess what? Quebec, according to the National Review, an individual with body identity integrity disorder, that would be your BID, he went to a doctor in Quebec who amputated two healthy fingers. Here's what the National Post story said. The fact that there were only two fingers involved in the Quebec case, as opposed to a complete limb, made the decision to proceed easier for the medical team. All righty then. Why did this doctor, I presume he swore a Hippocratic oath, cut off two healthy fingers? Well, the guy said that he was going to do it himself. And if I didn't do it, he'd cut off his fingers with a butter knife. And they wouldn't look pretty. And just think how the world would perceive him with such raw stubs. So he did it for him with a sharp scalpel. For the patient, amputation proved to be a highly satisfying curative treatment. He's now living a life free from distressing preoccupations about his fingers. I am so hoping that this turns out to be a spoof. I am really hoping for that. The amputation enabled him to live in alignment with his perceived identity. There it is. It's transableism. Julia Hartley Brewer, not willing to play the pronoun game. But we can play it, but it won't be long. And they're going to change. Singulars are no longer, you can be a singular or a plural. They're going to change the book. Grammar rules, they change. Dictionaries get rewritten. And that's going to happen with pronouns. Mark my word.
I'm not being rude. You can choose your pronouns. You can choose what you want to call yourself, but you don't get to require me to use incorrect grammar and factually incorrect things. You're not a plural. You're a one person, and you're a female person. So I will use she and her. Thank you very much.
That's going to change. I'm telling you, to accommodate this mental illness, we will now make a new rule that pronouns, there's going to be some sort of imprimatur put on this that genders in pronouns, you know, some languages actually do have three, masculine, feminine, neuter. That would be your Latin, but not in English. But we'll get rid of all of that. There's no point in that because that way we can accommodate people who need help.
Do what you like, I guess.
Well, there you are. You didn't need to tell me then, did you?
Maybe I'm just making sure people know in case they're watching and they want to refer to me respectfully.
Blessing! See, she didn't call her disrespectful. Well, not with the front of her hand. That was kind of backhanded.
Is it disrespectful for me to use correct factual grammar?
It's not incorrect or unfactual grammar to use singular they, them pronouns for an individual.
This is insanity. This is, hey, that right there, the thing with the tail that's barking, that's a cat. But it's a dog. It's not wrong to call it a cat.
But we're here to talk about the cast review.
Yeah, but you chose to bring it up.
You chose to use the incorrect pronouns for me.
I chose to use the correct pronouns for a single woman who is appearing on my show.
I'm not a single woman, though. I'm a very special non-binary trans person, as you just pointed out.
I didn't just point that out. I introduced you as a journalist and a Virgin Radio presenter.
I'm sorry. I will give them both props. They both stayed pleasant, both the host and the guest. They were polite all the way through.
No, just before I came on, you were talking about how people with all these labels like to be special. And I'm just making sure that everyone knows I'm special.
Okay, I'm not special. I'm just a boring old heterosexual married woman. But, you know, sorry about that. I'm not allowed to do that anymore. In fact, that probably does make me special.
Yeah,
now.
It will soon.
Anyway, Shivani, we're colleagues, and I want to, obviously want to treat respect, but again, for me, respect works both ways, and that also requires people on both sides to be respectful of people's willingness to not want to tell lies or to be dishonest to themselves. So we'll have to respect each other's views on this.
That's clip number one, Jimmy. Are you prepared for clip number two? That was pretty good.
That was.
And then they went on to talk about a report that is from the Netherlands that is saying, according to the headline from the Christian Post, gender non-centered. Centeredness commonly fades after adolescence. A big study. Those people who feel confused, it tends to just go away. At least that woman guessed that, can I call her woman, was willing to talk about that. Let me introduce you now to clip number two. This is Nicolas Ferreira. Hope I'm saying this right. He's a Brazilian, very young fellow, 27 years old, elected in 2022. He's a whippersnapper of the Liberty Party. It's the conservative party in Brazil. And this was, I believe this was at the United Nations he was speaking. And wow, he kind of let him have it.
I was born in a poor neighborhood in my city, Belo Horizonte, Brazil. I'm married, I'm Christian, and we are expecting a daughter.
Yay.
Aurora, who will be born in 3 months. I became the most voted federal congressman in Brazil, and I'm here to warn you about what's happening in my country.
Huh?
I apologize if I make any mistakes in my speech. I'm still learning English. The left returned to power in the presidencies of Brazil this year, but it has had the power of universities, media, and culture for decades. America is like a body, and its health is a tripod: patriotism, morality, and spirituality. If someone undermines these three areas, America will collapse from within.
Wow.
Stalin said this. They have known the secret for a long time and used all possible means to achieve their goal, the destruction of the family. But you may wonder, wouldn't that be too radical of an idea? Does anyone really want to do this? And after all, how would they do that? First, they destroy the sense of reality. There is no longer right and wrong, good or bad. Everything is relative. When they say that, why then say that men exist? Women, aren't they concrete concepts? Therefore, they must be abolished. Then they move on stage number two. The destruction of identity. Mm. If you are nothing, then everything can be everything. Therefore, they will destroy your identity as a person. Young people no longer know what or who they are. They are carried away by any wind of doctrine and cling to what is fashionable.
Oh, man, I could keep listening to that whippersnapper. Jimmy, that was clip number two.
Uh-huh.
It's time now for the moment of truth. Which clip did you like better?
Well, I liked them both, but which clip I liked better was number one.
Yeah, just
it just hits you a little bit differently.
But this kid was right.
Yeah.
The tripod that Stalin said, we topple one of those legs, the whole thing comes crumbling down. Which, hey, that reminds me of our bold new initiative to try to be a light in the darkness. We are introducing 8 new voices. No kidding. And we sure could use your support. Encourage you to please consider learning more and potentially financially supporting us so that we can just be louder. Wretched.org. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.